Yeah. Y'all know what time it is. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God. Say it with me now. A.k.a. Harry Potter. Let's do some quick housekeeping. I'm sure you guys have noticed there haven't been a lot of just regular NBA pods. I've definitely started looking more at long form style interviews, but it's the NBA trade deadline, baby. You knew you were getting a pod from your boy today. But definitely check out some of our latest interviews. Me and the boys had Anthony Gaines on, as well as I just had Rennie LaRue. He started the Upstate New York Basketball Hall of Fame. And now it is just the New York Basketball Hall of Fame. So definitely look out for that interview dropping this weekend. We're going to talk trade deadline, but first let's jump into LeBron breaking the all-time scoring record. Like, I'm not the biggest Bron guy in the world, but we need to give credit to his ability to just flat out put the ball in the basket. He's not wired as a scorer like a Durant, a Melo, a Kobe, a Mike, but he's led the league in scoring before. He's the all-time leader in playoff scoring, and now he's the all-time leader in regular season scoring. That means that dude can get a bucket. He can get a bucket, and it's also a testament to his longevity. Like, how long? Since 2003, he's been a dub in the league. Like, 20 points minimum every year since 2003. Rookie of the Year, League MVP, Finals MVP, All-Star Game MVPs, First Team All-Defense, First Team All-NBA. The only thing he really doesn't have is a Defensive Player of the Year. And there's a couple years where he had a real case and he got missed on it. We're really getting to the point where LeBron is top two and he's not two. And that's hard for me to say, but like, we're quickly approaching the point where he's probably the greatest player to ever touch a basketball. And you don't have to be there yet. I don't even know that I'm all the way there yet. I will tell you that if you have him, to me, anywhere outside of top two is egregious, but top three, like, I'll work with you. But like, if you have, like, Barkley had him at like 7 or 8, and that's nasty, especially from our greats who are paid to talk about the game. I don't even know how you can have an argument for LeBron to not be in your top five. Like, I have a tough time with people who argue he's not top two at 8. In past three, I barely want to fucking talk hoops with you. And I'm not like this huge LeBron guy, but we need to give credit and appreciate greatness, because it's going to be a long motherfucking time before we see anything remotely close to what this man has given us for two straight decades. All right, so that is my little LeBron spiel. Now, we're getting into the trade deadline, and before we get to the trade deadline, just a little public service announcement. I won't say this lady's name because she is not alone. There are many people that feel like this. She tweeted, "I'm disgusted what has happened to the NBA. Harden wants to go to Philly. Kyrie has teams he wants to go to, and now KD wants to go to the Suns, and it's not free agency time. WTF? Well, well, well. When the owners trade players, it's just business. And you guys have heard me on this soapbox before. But when a player under contract asks for a trade, it's blasphemous. Clutch your pearls. Dog, Kevin Durant wanted to be traded. TJ Warren got traded with him. TJ Warren didn't want to be traded. So if this is how you guys would like to do things, then only players that request to be traded should be allowed to be traded. So if TJ Warren didn't want to be traded with Kevin Durant, then the Suns would have either needed to, the Suns needed to trade Jay Crowder because he wanted to be traded for Kevin Durant straight up. That sounds stupid as hell, right? But that's how you want the players to operate. When the owners and the team trades a guy that was very happy in his situation, nobody bats an eyelash. But a player stands up for his right to, like, I get it. They're paid handsomely. They really, really are. But first of all, I'm regular. You guys, the people like that lady that tweeted that make me defend millionaires against billionaires. That shit sounds stupid to me too, that I have to defend the millionaires against the billionaires. And I get it. These guys are paid great money. They really are. But imagine being paid great money. You can only live in one of 30 cities, or at least within proximity to that city. And on top of that, they can trade you at any moment. They can just say, yo, you were great here, or you weren't great here, but we're moving on to somebody else. Leave the players alone. That's that. We can get into trades. Kyrie Irving did request a trade, and he wound up on the Dallas Mavericks. And now it'll be him and Luka Doncic together. Think about that. Luka and Kyrie. They needed another ball handler and another scorer. And this is by far the best teammate that Luka has had in his career. Kristaps Porzingis didn't work out. Him and Jalen Brunson seemed to do really well together. And Kyrie, by all stretches of the imagination, is a superior basketball player. There might be more off the court things to deal with, but when we're strictly talking about hoops, Kyrie is a stark upgrade over Brunson, and Brunson and Doncic made it work semi-successfully. There's Kyrie's a very talented passer. He might not always want to pass, but he's a very good passer. Luka, a very good passer. Both of them have post-up games and will attack mismatches. I think that this is, they didn't give up a ton. They gave up Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie for the most part, and some picks, but like the players they gave up are, they're good players. They're solid rotation guys. And if the Nets had been able to keep Durant, they might've been okay because Dinwiddie's good. Dorian Finney-Smith is the perfect kind of player to have on a championship contender. But they weren't able to keep Kevin Durant. So now they have, so they traded Kevin Durant to the Phoenix Suns, which I didn't think was going to happen. Me and my brother spoke after the Kyrie trade, and he thought that they might move Durant. And I thought that they would think about it, but I just didn't think they could do it in such a fast turnaround. But he said, no, I'm telling you, I think Durant's out of here. And shout out to Yosh. He knocked that shit out the park. He was right. I was wrong. He not even here. And now I got to admit he was right and I was wrong. That's trash. But they got the Nets got players that I really, really like for Kevin Durant. They got Mikal Bridges. They got Cam Johnson. The issue here is you can't trade three likely Hall of Famers in their relative prime and not get back a star. They traded Harden. They got back Ben Simmons, who has been a fucking disaster, like a literal dumpster fire. He's a shell of the player he was. So, all right. So you're 0-1 on getting a star back. All right. Cool, cool, cool. You trade Kyrie. Well, Dinwiddie and, Dorian Finney-Smith are good players. Like I said, they're good contributing players, and I think Finney-Smith will have a role on a championship team at some point in his career. They're not stars. So now you've lost Harden and Kyrie for not stars. And then now you move on to the big fish, KD. To me, the greatest scorer that's ever played the game from a – he can do it anywhere in a million different ways. LeBron has the record, but Kareem had the record, and so did Wilt at a time. And that doesn't, that means they put the ball in the basket the most. But when I say Kevin Durant's the greatest scorer we've ever seen, I mean, the dude is, he can post up and hit you with turnaround fadeaways. He's got a handle. He'll cross you into a pull-up. He's got a three ball. He has an elite mid-range game. He can finish at the rim. He's 6'10", so he can dunk. Like, that complete offensive package is the best we've ever seen. It doesn't mean he'll end up the all-time leading scorer, because I don't think he will. But the best at putting the ball in the basket a million different ways efficiently. And you guys got Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and Jay Crowder back. It's just not enough. Maybe they believe Mikal Bridges can be a star in this league. I think he might make an all-star team, but I don't think he's a star. He's a very good player, but he's not a star. I'm one of the bigger Cam Johnson fans. I'm just into Cam Johnson. Don't think he's ever a star. Think he's a very solid role player. And like, they just didn't get back enough for Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. Just I'll put it in perspective, or at least I'll try to. When the Clippers traded for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, OKC got back a king's ransom for Paul George, including what has turned into an all-star and somebody that even at that time definitely had all-star potential in SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I won't say that, I don't know if anybody ever saw him becoming the player he is right now, because he's probably like a top 10 to 15 player in the league right now, averaging damn near 30, but they knew he had a lot of potential. I don't think the Nets got anybody back like that in any of their deals. I mean, I guess you could say Ben Simmons, but he hadn't played in a year, and there were clearly mental health things, and he hasn't gotten over them. He's a healthy scratch sometimes. In a late one at that, where like it almost feels like he tells Jock Vaughn, "Yeah, I'm really not feeling hooping today." So it's just not enough. So things to think about, though, are Durant has been suffering from Achilles and just leg extremity things. I'm not positive right now, but for the longest time in the world, going to Phoenix was like finding the fountain of youth. Like, their medical staff was just A1. And if that still holds true, maybe this helps extend his career. What else? Kyrie is getting to the point where, oh wait, no, another thought on Durant. Nike execs, if you're listening, here it is. Here is your $1 million idea. Pay attention and send me a check when this happens. If the Suns win the championship, and they've probably got to be favored. I haven't checked the Vegas odds, but they've got to be favored. Nike, if the Suns win the championship, you guys need to drop a whole Kevin Durant bus driver campaign. Like, just have him picking up kids going to school, have him on the side of the road with a flat tire and fixing it. Just drop a whole campaign about Kevin Durant being the bus driver. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, it's been often said that Durant wasn't the leader or the driving factor. He wasn't the bus driver on his two championship teams in Golden State. And it's something that Shaq has made fun of him about, and Barkley. Well, if he gets one in Phoenix, I say Nike drops a whole bus driver campaign and KD just leans into it. And just real quick on Kyrie, he is developing one of the better all-time teammate lists. Like, you got to think he's had him and LeBron won a chip together. So he's played with LeBron. He played with Durant. He played with James Harden, played with Kevin Love, played with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford. Like, it's getting to the point where he is going to have a stellar, stellar list of all-time teammates. And it's only getting better because now he's about to play with Luka. Though that's a thought I had, that just Kyrie's list of elite teammates is growing. Second thought I had is, do not get me wrong, the Nets front office fumbled this 8 million ways from Sunday. Like, just the way the Nets front office dropped the ball here, I am only going to assume that none of them have opposable thumbs. There's no way that you can drop the ball this badly if you have thumbs. They just don't have thumbs. It's hard to catch without thumbs. It really is. And now that the team has been completely gutted, you guys know I don't really have an NBA team. Like, you guys know my loyalty to Kentucky basketball, but I don't have an NBA team. And the Nets are definitely the team I've seen the most. What if I jumped in as like a diehard Nets fan right now? Because, like, you don't want to do it when they have Harden, Durant, and Kyrie. But, like, when the cupboard's bare, like, there's just young players that are dope, like Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Like, what if I jumped in now? I want you guys' opinion on that. Like, should I go all in? Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Should that be me? Let me know. Let's get into some of the. Okay, another thing that was fun. Jalen Brunson's reaction to Josh Hart getting traded to the Knicks after they were teammates at Villanova was so heartfelt and like genuine. He's standing there and somebody there shows him a phone and he's like, "Oh shit." And he immediately grabs his phone. He's like, "Oh, we got Josh." And like whoever that was to him, whoever a female that was with him, like walks up and like, "Are you sure?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm looking at it." He was so hyped to get his man's back. And I just love that. In that Josh Hart trade, Cam Reddish was traded. For those that don't know, in high school, the way his peers talked about him, Himothy Turner. Cam Reddish was really that guy. Like, they were like Anthony Edwards, who by all is a little bit of an arrogant guy, was like, "Nah, Cam Thomas, the only, not Cam Thomas, I'm sorry, Cam Reddish, the only one who bust my ass." He had like 40. So he was a top three player coming out of high school. He was number three in his class behind his two teammates, RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson were one and two, and Cam was three. So Duke had the one, two, and three recruit in the nation. I don't think that's ever happened. But even at Duke, like, Cam had some little weird stuff, like sitting out games that he probably could have played in, or games that the team really needed him and he probably could have gutted it out and didn't want to, or didn't feel like it was best for his draft stock. So there was that. Then he still turned that 1 year into Duke into a top 10 pick, and the Atlanta Hawks drafted him. And he didn't do all that much in Atlanta. So he got traded for another dude who was a highly rated recruit who didn't do shit, in Kevin Knox. And they flip-flopped. And now Cam has definitely been better than Knox, but Kevin Knox should be playing in fucking Serbia. So does it really count? And then he was on the Knicks and he had some flashes. Sometimes he looked really good defensively, and he has all the tools you want in a hooper. He's tall, he's long, like the jump shot is smooth. Everything he does is smooth, but he just never put it together. But I want to sell all my Cam Reddish stock, but I'm a little bit interested to see what he looks like in Portland. And it is shameful. Like, I am so disappointed in myself for not giving up on him. Because the thing is, when I was taking my notes, I got rid of, I was like, yo, I'm gonna get on screen and just sell all my Cam Reddish stock, all of it. Then I got to talking and I remembered his pedigree and like some of the shit I seen him do in limited minutes. Son is all right. Like, another year of me having way too much Cam Reddish stock. Westbrook got traded to the Jazz in a multiplayer deal. All right, so Russ got dealt in a three-team deal that the Lakers land D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt and Mike Conley. And Russell Westbrook lands on the Jazz. And I'd assume he's going to wind up getting bought out. So where do we want to see Russ when he gets bought out? I can't think of like the perfect fit for him. Maybe somewhere where they need a little bit more scoring punch off the bench. What if he went to OKC and just helped them make a playoff push this year and then reevaluate at the end of next season? I don't know, man. It's getting Malik Beasley and D'Angelo Russell is nice for the Lakers, especially when you add in that they got Mo Bamba for Pat Beverly. They just got a little bit younger. They're the team that drafted D'Angelo Russell, and we're actually going to see a lot of that in the trades. There's a lot of just retreads happening. Jakob Poeltl goes back to the Raptors. D'Angelo Russell back to the Lakers. Spencer Dinwiddie back to the Nets. And then there's another one I'm missing right now. I'll remember it when I see it on screen. D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley. Beasley gives them some nice scoring punch. Russell is a guy that he plays, he has big moments, and he's not scared to take a big shot. He's the kind of guard LeBron normally likes. He might handle the ball a little bit too much for LeBron's liking, but LeBron likes a guard that'll go out there and get buckets from time to time. And now that is what he has in both Russell and Beasley. Jared Vanderbilt is just tough. He's not a great shooter, but he rebounds and defends his ass off. He's the kind of guy you want to have on your team. Oh, Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is back with the Clippers. The Clippers receive Eric Gordon and 3 second-round picks from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies receive Luke Kennard, the kind of player they like. They remember they're the same team that drafted Grayson Allen. They like that Duke pedigree, I'm sure. But they like a nice-sized white guy that can shoot the ball. And I think Kennard is better than Allen in most aspects, particularly as a secondary ball handler. The Rockets are the third team in this trade, and they're doing it for picks and swaps and just to help build their war chest. They receive John Wall back, another player that's already been with this team. They receive Danny Green and the rights to the Bucks pick with the Grizzlies in 2023. So I'm going to assume that rights to Bucks pick with Clippers. So the Clippers owe a pick to the Bucks. And now the Bucks, Jesus Christ, that's confusing. The Bucks owe a pick to the Clippers, and the Clippers have now traded that pick to the Rockets. And that is the big asset the Rockets wanted. They don't care about John Wall. They don't care about Danny Green. I'd assume both of those guys are actually viable buyout guys, particularly Danny Green, if he has anything left in the tank. But the Rockets made this deal to get that Bucks pick, which won't be great, but you make the more picks and assets you have, the better package you can make when a superstar becomes disgruntled. Eric Gordon, another veteran, a good shooter. This doesn't do much for me. This trade doesn't do much for me on any front at all. Let's move on to the next one. Just really quick, because it's on screen, the Nets also received four first round picks from the Suns, and I'm not sure on all the protections, but that is a nice haul. The only problem is Devin Booker is 27. DeAndre Ayton is younger than that. So even as CP3 and Durant age, the Suns have a good nucleus. So if the Nets were smart, hopefully they push these picks out as far as they can, because if they come in anytime soon, this team is expected to be a juggernaut. There's also a 2028 pick swap. I love getting pick swaps in trades. Like, I really do, because if we're doing better than expected and you're doing worse, give me your pick. So I did want to say that. I'm sorry, I'm skipping around a lot. I mentioned this earlier. Jakob Poeltl is back to the Raptors. Shout out to Ian and Sean Stansfield. We've been group chatting all day. The group chat's been on fire. And they mentioned that Masai was hot on Jakob Poeltl at last trade deadline. And if I knew that, I definitely forgot it. But those guys handle and cover the Raptors better than anybody. So, of course, they didn't forget. The Spurs receive Kem Birch, a 2024 first-round pick, a 2023 second, and a 2025 second. That's a nice haul, and the Raptors pretty much stood pat after that, but they really loved Jakob Poeltl. They gave him up in the Kawhi Leonard trade, which you have to do. Like, it netted them a championship getting Kawhi, so it all makes sense. But they have been trying to get back to Jakob Poeltl, and they did it, so congratulations to them. Another player going back to his old team, and he hasn't been gone from there for long. The Warriors receive Gary Payton II back, who they just lost in free agency this summer after they won their championship. And the Blazers will receive five future second round picks. So the Warriors wanted to get their guy back. He was one of their better defenders. He was, before he got injured in the early rounds of the playoff, his defense was becoming indispensable or invaluable for the Warriors. Like, it couldn't be quantified because he was the big wing guy, because he's tough and physical. So I do think that that is a great move for them as they try and get ready to run the table for a repeat. The Pelicans traded for Josh Richardson. So the Spurs traded Josh Richardson, and they received Devontae Graham and four future second round picks. That's a nice haul for the Spurs. They grabbed a bunch of second round picks between the two trades they made. And Devontae Graham is good. Like, that guy can play. It'll be interesting to see how he does under Popovich, just because sometimes his shot selection can leave a little bit to be desired. How about that? The Nets picks just came up. So it's a 2027 second round pick. That's bullshit. A 2029 first round pick that is unprotected. We're in 2023. Like, even then, Booker and Ayton should still be relatively good. Like, it's not a great pick. You never know what happens, and I'm sure the Nets pushed it out as far as they can. And 5-6 years down the line, the NBA changes very fast. So maybe I'll give a little bit more credit to getting this unprotected in 2029, particularly when you think about Chris Paul's age, Kevin Durant's age, and injury history, on top of Ayton didn't want to be there at the beginning of the season. And sometimes those feelings don't go away. So it's not that bad. And the 2029 second round pick, they didn't get shit. Good God. And I'm reading this wrong. These are the protections from the Mavs. These are what the Mavs gave up for Kyrie Irving and Markieff Morris. A little bit more exciting. A little bit more exciting when you think about the 2029, because Kyrie's so mercurial. I'd assume Luka is still there. I just don't think we see overseas all-stars move teams nearly as much as American all-stars, because to an this is just my theory. To an American all-star, like let's say LeBron James. LeBron James went back to Cleveland because that was home. So that's home. Well, to a foreign player, home is wherever they grew up. So America is America, in a sense, if that makes sense. Like, they don't have a home to go to play NBA games. So the city that drafts them becomes their foster home, or the city adopts them, and they don't leave because in the offseason they're going back to their real home. But while they're in the NBA, there is no city that's claimed them quite like the city that they've been drafted to. I don't have a ton of facts for this, but Tim Duncan is from the U.S. Virgin Islands. He never left San Antonio. He almost did for Orlando, but he didn't. Dirk is German. He never left Dallas. It doesn't look like Giannis is leaving Milwaukee, and he's Greek and Nigerian. I'd be very surprised if Joker left Denver. Manu Ginobili never left the Spurs. Tony Parker is French, and he did leave the Spurs, but he also went with a Spurs coach in Borrego, and that was a tough transition. I should probably look up more stuff for this theory, because I think it does hold some weight. The Warriors gave up on James Wiseman, and they sent him to Detroit. I'm not in love with Wiseman. I really haven't been for maybe since before he got to Memphis. I wasn't into him. I do like him on a young rebuilding team with Cade and, holy crap, I'm drawing a blank on Sunday drafted from Purdue. I can tell you the college. Jaden Ivey, sorry. And I drew a blank on Jaden Ivey. But Cade and Jaden Ivey and Wiseman, because in theory, that's your, you have a point guard, a big wing, and a big. And like, that's a nice place to build. They had to give up Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey winds up with the Hawks, which is a nice pickup. And the Warriors receive Kevin Knox, who should be in Serbia once again, and 5 second-round picks from the Hawks. 5 second-round picks is, it was the going rate today. There were a lot of trades that had 5 second-round picks involved. I think I'd rather have Sadiq Bey over Wiseman. I'm just going to say it. That's me. The Suns traded Dario Saric in a second-round pick to the Thunder for Darius Bazley. Is Darius Bazley the fifth starter for the Suns? You have CP, Book, Durant, and Ayton. And like that, for the second forward spot is wide open. Like, Durant doesn't love playing power forward, so you probably want somebody that's cool playing the four and banging with big bodies next to him. Bazley sort of fits that. And the Thunder received Dario Saric, who is a veteran, and they add another second-round pick to their war chest. And I know it's just one, but when the war chest is as deep as OKC's, hey, man, every one counts. You package. I just talked about how 5 second-round picks is getting you players, like decent players. Well, nobody has more second-round picks or picks stored up than OKC. And they just added another one. Shout out to Sam Presti. Good move. The Clippers received Bones Highland from the Nuggets for a 2024 second round pick and a 2025 second round pick. Don't know why the Nuggets did this. I fucking loved Bones Highland and the way he was developing and how he was learning to play off Jokic. And he has a confident swagger about him. Like, that kid's not afraid to take big dick shots. This is a great get for the Clippers. Him and Terrence Mann are very nice pieces to have around Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I'd assume the Clippers wanted him because they got off of Wall. I believe they got off of Reggie Jackson as well. And Luke Kennard. So like a backup point guard was a space they needed, or a point guard in general was a space they needed. So I like Highland for the Clippers. Not so much for the Nugs. Wasn't in love with this move for Denver. The Blazers received Matisse Thybulle from the Sixers in a three-team trade. The Hornets received Mikhailuk from, he played at Kansas, and then he was on the Sixers roster, and the Hornets received Sphi as well as a 2023 second round pick. And then the Sixers received Jaden McDaniels, a 2024 second round pick via the Knicks, and a 2029 second round pick via the Blazers. I want to say the Hornets are the ones who sent that Knicks pick over to the Blazers. Jalen McDaniels. The Blazers getting Thybulle. They like that kind of guy. Remember, they were paying Robert Covington for so long. Like, hey, get me a 3-and-D wing. Thybulle's going to need to shoot better. But he had just lost favor in Philly, so he was no longer in the rotation. And the Sixers felt they could get assets for him, so they moved him. The Nets received Jay Crowder in the Kevin Durant trade and immediately moved Jay Crowder to the Bucks. And while I'm not the biggest Jay Crowder fan, he's another one that is good on high level teams. There is going to be some point in the playoffs where that dude is going to make a key defensive stop or hit a big dick three that is going to help propel the Bucks to winning. That's what he does. The Nets won another team receiving 5 second-round picks. Like I said, Josiah and them have not been killing it, but they are refilling the war chest. The Pacers, the third team in this trade, received Jordan Nwora, who I think can actually play, 2 second-round picks, and the artist formerly known as Serge Ibaka. I like Nwora. He's good. I think this is a cool pickup for the Pacers, and the Bucks getting Jay Crowder. Like, mark my words, he's gonna make a big playoff play. And the Nuggets made a trade with the Lakers. The Lakers receive Davin Reed, a 2025 second round pick, a 2026 second round pick, and a 2029 second round pick. And they come off Thomas Bryant. The rumors were that Bryant wasn't happy with how much he was playing since Anthony Davis got back and wanted to be moved. And in a funny move, Rob Pelinka basically said, oh man, you think playing behind Anthony Davis is bad, who's hurt every damn week? We'll now go play behind Nikola Jokic, the 2-time reigning MVP who doesn't miss games and damn near doesn't sit. You want to leave? Leave. But we ain't doing you no favors. And those are the trades from the 2023 deadline. There were a couple smaller ones, but really want to bore you guys with that. Some names that I thought might have got moved that didn't wind up getting moved. I thought there was a chance Fred VanVleet got moved. I definitely thought OG was going to get moved. I think Mikal Bridges getting moved might have stopped the OG market, possibly. But a super exciting trade deadline. I'm still shocked that Durant was moved. I just didn't think there was going to be enough time. And maybe I was still right because they got bullshit for KD. Like, we're talking about a top 10 player all time that was playing great basketball before he got hurt. And I don't really think we have a reason to believe he won't get back to that level. And they got some nice, they got two young players that I like, but not enough for Kevin Durant. All right, guys, this has been the Shaw's Law podcast. And like that, we out.